I want to say a quick thank you to Fabletics, who's one of the sponsors of the Mom Struggling Well podcast today. They make the world's best leggings. That's right, the world's best. You get performance, you get quality and style. But the best part, ladies, it's 2 to 3 times less than other activewear brands. When you visit Fabletics for the first time, you're given a style quiz, and then Fabletics personalizes your shopping experience so your favorite styles rise right up to the top. You have the ability to shop as a guest with Fabletics, but if you become a VIP member, you are going to save a whole lot of money, like 40 to 50% off retail prices. Imagine your favorite store giving you a discount on all the merchandise for the rest of your life. And all you have to do is visit the store each month to check out what was new with absolutely no pressure to buy. That is the value that you get from a Fabletics VIP membership. I love being a VIP member, and I know that you will too. So go to fabletics.com/MSW now to get 2 pairs of their amazing leggings for just $24. Seriously, these are the world's best leggings. They're a $99 value, and you'll get 2 pairs for only $24 when you join at fabletics.com/MSW. That's fabletics.com/MSW. Welcome back. This is another Just M segment. This is Just M 15, and we're going to be talking today about John 5, verses 1 through 9. You can listen to all the other Just M's. We've been going through John 5, verse at a time. We'll probably be here for possibly the rest of our lives, but it's a good book, so we're fine with that. Okay, so let me read John 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And by after this, he means he had just healed the official's son. In chapter 4, and they went to a feast in Jerusalem. We don't know what the feast is, but they had a lot of feasts, so we know it was a party. Now, there is in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has 5 roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and he knew that he had already been there for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Okay, so let me go ahead and set the stage for you. At this point in John, we're entering some chapters, like the next 5 chapters, where there's going to be mounting tension around Jesus and opposition toward him from the religious leaders. So he is not a popular guy right now. So if you have ever been hurt by the church, I just would love to encourage you that the church tried to kill Jesus. So you're not alone in that. Hebrews says that we have a great high priest who can understand everything that we are dealing with. And so he can even understand hurts done by churches. Okay, so it said in the beginning that there's a Jewish feast happening. We don't know which one, but he's in Jerusalem just for this feast. And he sees a pool called Bethesda by the Sheep Gate. And I think from living in the States, we would think a gate, it's like maybe a chain link fence or maybe like a white picket fence. I don't know, some kind of small little thing. But the gates were the openings to the walls of the city. So it was like a really big area, not just... So if you think Sheep Gate, you think, oh, well, that's weird. What a weird detail. But it's like a landmark, okay? So there's a bunch of invalids here who are waiting to be healed. The Greek word for invalid is like, you know, they had a disability in some way. They had no strength. They were kind of languishing. So it was believed that the water was stirred periodically by an angel, or maybe there was like an underwater spring or something, but it was believed that the first person who got in the water as soon as it happened would be healed. So that's why all of these invalids kind of hung out at this pool all the time. So this particular man, he had been sick for 38 years. We do not know how old he was, but he had been sick for 38 years. And several resources that I looked at said most people did not even live 38 years, and he had been sick 38 years. So he's one of the oldest people around, and he's just been sick for a really long time. So in verse 6, Jesus saw him and he said, "Do you want to be healed?" I love how direct Jesus is. I tend to be pretty direct and don't always go that well, but I see the value in it. And so when I see Jesus being direct, it just makes me happy. But interestingly, the man did not answer directly, and we'll get to that. So we see this man, and I think there's two possible views of this man who's been sick for 38 years, who's just unable to be healed, can't get to the water fast enough. Number one, we could think, wow, he's just so long-suffering, like how enduring to still stay there, even though he keeps not being first. He has the hope and it just gets snatched away from him at the last second every time. And I gotta say, some of you who are listening, some of my dearest friends have chronic medical conditions. They've done everything that they need to do. They've read the books, they've done the Google, they've spent the money, they've changed the diets, they've gone to all the doctors, and still nothing. And that is a weary, raw place to be. And so if that's where you're at, I'm really sorry. I just encourage you to hang on. You are not alone. You are not forgotten. I had a similar taste of that during our years of infertility, 6 years of trying everything, all the procedures, all the diets. You need to lose weight. You need to gain weight. Everything that we could have tried, all the medicines, all the medical interventions that we could, and they just never yielded even one pregnancy. So I understand that to a small extent. There's another way that we could look at this guy, though. And maybe I'm just cynical or like a jerk, but I just think 38 years and there's no way to like get you close enough to the pool that you can go in. Like, you're obviously older than everybody else there. Is there you can't form a line? Like, I don't understand. There must be more to the story that I don't get. But I do see in my own life that I sometimes say I want to be healed or change or improve something or do something in a different way. And I don't really want to. I just want to say that I want to because it's the right thing to say, but I don't want to do what I need to do to make that actually happen. So every time I read this, every time I know John chapter 5 is coming, I think, oh, do you want to be healed, Emily? And I got to say, sometimes I'm just very honestly pretty comfortable in whatever dysfunction I've got going on. And I don't want to be healed, really. But I must say I do. The most obvious and embarrassing one for me is I have been trying, and I'm using air quotes, to lose 10 pounds for like 5 years. It doesn't take 5 years to lose 10 pounds. I'm so sorry. I'm not trying. So I don't even say I'm trying anymore. I mean, I have 10 pounds to lose, but I do not say that I'm trying to lose it because that is a lie. So this week, I would encourage you for your strategy to struggle well to decide, like, which side of the scenario are you on? Are you completely exhausted from the trial that has been so persistent through no fault of your own, and you are just weary? Languishing was the word they used. Or are you really suffering as a result of your own poor choices or lack of choices? Sometimes not choosing anything that's the choice, right? The choice to do nothing. If that's you, I just want to say God is not mad at you, but there is definitely an element of working out our salvation, not earning it, but putting feet to our faith and actually doing the things that he's asking us to do. So for example, you can say you're trying to stay within the budget, but are you really? You can say you really wish you would stop yelling at your kids. You really wish that you would stop drinking so much wine. You really wish that you could stop texting that married man who's not your husband. We all have these things and we think we want to change, but we don't necessarily want to change if we look at our actions. We know what's really going on. So this week, maybe you struggle well by sitting with that question. Do you want to be healed? And talk honestly with God about it. He already knows, but maybe it's time to be honest with yourself. So verse 7, I think it's interesting. The guy didn't answer directly. It was a yes or no question. Do you want to be healed? But what he did instead was said, there's nobody around here to help me. And I, again, I just feel like I'm a little hard on this guy. But you have been here for 38 years and you have no relationships with all these other people. All y'all are doing is just like laying around all day and you still don't have anybody to help you out. And listen, some of us very literally are in a season of being alone. I remember when we lived overseas, I had a really hard time finding any friends that I had connection with. I was with people all the time, but I didn't have my people. So I understand that sometimes you've done everything you can do, but you're in a season of giving out and not necessarily a season of connecting. I do think, though, I'm going to push a little and just say, I think we do not reach out to people. It is so easy for us not to connect. But then when we really need something, we ain't got no connections. So I find it really interesting that this guy, who obviously somebody's bringing him water, somebody's bringing him food, he can't do anything, and he's been kept alive for 38 years. But he doesn't have anybody to help him when he needs it. I don't know. I just think that's interesting. So again, I feel like I'm being really mean to this man. But if we're all alone and we're blaming everything on everybody else, it starts to look really suspicious. You know what I mean? So maybe you have a look at your relationships and think, am I the one saying everybody else has the problem and I'm just completely by myself? There may be something to talk to God about there, and maybe ask him to reveal to you, like, why am I alone? And again, it's not always because you've done something wrong. It may be a season, but you also can tell if you are by yourself because you're not doing nothing. You're not reaching out. You're not being a friend to somebody. You're not making yourself uncomfortable at all. You're just expecting other people to do things for you, come up to you, call you, text you, and you're not doing any of those things too. You know what I'm saying? So then in verse 8, we see that regardless of if the man deserved it or not, Jesus chose to heal him. And I love that because sometimes we don't feel like other people deserve our kindness, our gracious acts, that when we're not asking for anything in return. And the fact is, maybe this guy really was the victim, but I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But Jesus still was like, I'm healing you, bro. I got you. I think that's a really good thing for me to remember with my kids. So let me go ahead and pray for us. Dear Lord, I praise you and I thank you that you know our hearts. We don't have to try to hide from you. We don't have to try to explain ourselves to you. We don't have to hope that you truly get us or that you see us, because you do. We are fully known. And remarkably, we are also fully loved. So thank you for that, God. Lord, in our lives, if we have something that we are choosing not to fully surrender to you and be healed of, not necessarily a medical thing, but a kind of a sin pattern that we're holding on to because we feel like we should say we're trying to stop it, but really we're pretty happy with it. God, would you reveal that to us? And would you, by your power, the way only you can, help us to see that your way is better? You are not just out to make us not have a good time. You want life abundant for us. So I pray that you would help us to see that your way is better. Lord, for my sisters who have literally done everything and they are just flat on their back in one way or another, God, would you comfort? Would you encourage them? Would you provide them with examples of the godly people that have gone before them who had to fight such a brave battle in their bodies that just were not working the way you intended on this earth? I pray for financial provision for them, as well as just a boost of encouragement. Lord, thank you that you have modeled for us generosity with your giftings. You healed the man, whether or not he actually deserved it. And please forgive me, Lord, for the times that I don't want to do nice things for my kids because I've decided they don't deserve it. Your example shows me that that's not the way to be. And also, I don't deserve it either. I'm pretty sure I do, but I'm deluding myself, really. God, thank you for your patience with us and your faithfulness to us. And I pray that this story would really stick in our heads, and this question of whether or not we actually want to be healed. In Jesus' name, amen.